Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more. Hello and welcome to HeritageRadioNetwork.org. I'm Jack Inslee and this is another community session on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. And today we're talking seafood, appropriately enough. And I've got Chef Bill Brodsky of City Landing on the phone, which is an awesome new spot on Boston's waterfront. And Bill's been a longtime supporter and practitioner of sustainable seafood. Bill, you there?
I am.
Thanks so much for being with us today, man.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Bill, you, as I understand, you grew up in Long Island.
I did.
That's same here. So after growing up in Long Island, it seems you've kind of popped around a little bit from spot to spot, spent a lot of time in hotels, and then you're at the Wachasset Resort. Is that correct?
Yeah, no, I was down at Wachasset on Cape Cod for over 10 years.
Great, and then City Landing, here we are. So City Landing is a new spot opened in 2012 right there on the waterfront, and I'm kind of curious has seafood always been a big culinary focus of yours, or is this something you're taking on more at City Landing?
Yeah, no, I think it's always been a constant in my life. Having grown up in Long Island, it's certainly a big part of the cuisine there. And, from having awesome Blue Point oysters to clams to lobsters, I mean, it was always readily available. And throughout my career, I've always kind of come back to seafood. And being right on the waterfront in Boston and having amazing access to just the freshest ingredients, it seemed like a no-brainer.
Yeah. Now, what are you doing differently at City Landing than previous positions you've held in terms of cooking with sustainable seafood?
Well, I mean, we are literally around the corner from the New England Aquarium, and I've really just gotten into the educational aspect of cooking through the aquarium and through a partnership with them. And we've featured a bunch of different sustainable seafood dinners. I did a demo at their World Oceans Day to kind of promote, eating seafood and responsible seafood at that. And it's been a real eye-opener. I mean, I always knew it was out there and that there were alternatives to just, commercial fishing. But I didn't realize the impact that it had on the environment until recently. And, I've taken an approach with our menu to offer 6 sustainable items on it currently. And it's just been something really cool to kind of introduce people to, alternatives to just eating, kind of seafood that's caught irresponsibly. And, there's a delicate balance out there with the aquaculture, and there's so many fantastic things going on that I think people need to know more about it and also know that the flavor of the food doesn't need to suffer.
Now, I'm curious, maybe you could break down sustainable seafood for us. I mean, does that mean that you're focusing on things that aren't in danger of being over-harvested? Is it more farmed fish? What does sustainable exactly mean to you in this context?
Yeah, well, there's so many things to sustainable seafood, and it varies from species to species. But essentially, the big components are you limiting bycatch. And bycatch is when you're trolling and dragging nets across the bottom of the ocean, it really rips up the aquaculture. And, inevitably what happens over time is that, seafood seafood fish basically at the bottom of the ocean don't have an environment that is, conducive to reproducing. So when they drag these big nets, they're essentially picking up a bunch of stuff that they don't use that they throw out, be it other fish or pollution at the bottom of the ocean. And, it really limits the amount of reproduction that fish can do. So bycatch is a big piece of it. The second piece of it is that, more and more people are coming into the world, more and more people are eating seafood, and there's a focus now on using seafood that can reproduce quickly, okay? Things like longfin squid, they reproduce so fast that it will probably never be an endangered species. And then, of course, the farming aspect is really kind of cool. And let me just say that farming has come a long way. I mean, if you talk about something as simple as Idaho rainbow trout, they have been farming this fish since the 60s, and 75% of all the trout in the country comes from Idaho, and it is so regulated that the fish is less prone to disease. It eats less food and is very efficient in how it processes food, so that it's using less food to grow, and they're growing it quickly. So there's an ample supply, you know, readily available. The other piece of sustainable is, you know, shellfish, and shellfish are now being farmed so widespread that they actually help the environment. So it's not a matter of just, you know, not destroying the environment. They actually help the environment by filtering out all these microscopic particles that, you know, kind of keep our water healthy.
Do you feel like the connotation behind farmed fish maybe could use some help? I mean, if let's say you put on your menu that the fish you're using is farmed, do you feel like that would necessarily evoke a good response from a customer, or maybe we still need to do some work to teach people that farmed fish is sometimes better?
Yeah, interesting question. Yeah, it definitely has a bad rap, farm-raised food. You think that it necessarily won't be as tasty, or, you know, it's juiced up with chemicals, and it's just the opposite. You know, there are certain aspects of sustainable seafood which actually focus on wild fish more than they do on farm-raised fish. I mean, if you're talking about Alaskan pollock or Alaskan salmon, these are wild fish. If you're talking about hook-line haddock, you know, this is the wild fish. Sea scallops are a wild fish. So it's not always that they're farm-raised, but, you know, farm-raised fish has come a long way. People are getting better about, producing, or scientists are getting better at producing food that kind of reproduces what happens naturally when they're swimming in the ocean. So, yes, I think it has a really bad connotation out there. People think farm-raised means that it's lesser quality. In essence, I think it's just the opposite. I mean, farm-raised is regulated so hard that your fish is going to be healthier. It's going to be, you know, have less disease. It's going to be grown with a flavor profile in mind. And it's not as if these guys are growing these in these little tiny ponds. I mean, you know, some of these inlets that they're growing them on are, you know, 500 acres. So the fish can get pretty big and have, you know, plenty of movement so that the muscle development's there and the flavor profile's there as well.
Sure, absolutely. And now I'm curious also to know if some of these fish farming operations, could you say there's like, are there the Smithfields and then the small family farms of fish farming? Are there, you know, certain spots you go to and some that you'd avoid?
No, you know, I mean, there are some that are, you know, more savory than others. And, you know, I don't really have the specific ins and outs of you know, who's the big farmer versus the small one. But I can tell you that, you know, the ones that have been doing it a while, I know there's this guy in the Carolinas that's doing striped bass, which is hybrid striped bass, which is it's essentially a hybrid of striped bass and white bass, you know, has kind of cornered the market because they were, you know, so proactive in doing this before everybody else. And, you know, everyone loves striped bass, and, you know, there's like a month-long season when we can actually catch wild striped bass here in Massachusetts off the coast because it's so highly regulated. And, you know, to be able to offer striped bass to people on a year-round basis is huge. You know, people love that fish. And, you know, I love cooking it. So there's certainly, you know, the wide range, the full spectrum of farmers out there.
Awesome. So, all right, I want to simplify things for a second here for listeners and consumers right now. We're right at the beginning of August as we speak now, and I'm wondering, what are some of the you know, seafood items you think that are just perfect right now? I guess not farmed. You know, what would you recommend people go pick up now before the season winds up?
Yeah, well, striped bass would be at the top of my list.
Right.
We've got a real short window here. If you can hit that, you're gonna be happy with it. You know, I mean, shellfish is really good right now. You know, Canadian mussels are fantastic. They're just plump and juice. Long fin squid. Or what's also called market squid for calamari is just phenomenal right now. Our scallops that we've been getting in, I would say the past 3 months have been absolutely ridiculous. They're so sweet, and all you do is just sear them off, and, you know, it's heaven.
And as we get into fall, what are you looking forward to in the coming months? What's going to kind of come into season?
I like to mix it up in fall. You know, we probably go a little bit more into shellfish as, you know, when the weather starts cooling down, shellfish pick up more minerals. They have a more briny flavor to them. So I always get excited about oysters in the fall. Mm. You know, certainly I'm a big lobster lover. We have this pretty awesome lobster dish on our menu where we, you know, poach it in emulsified butter and kind of do a little take on a petite clam bake. So that stuff always is a little bit more hearty to me than the summer fish.
Sure. And now when people are shopping around and trying to make the right decisions and you know, err on the side of sustainable seafood, what are some kind of supermarket fish items you just really stay away from that you should avoid if you're not at a sustainable place?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if there are specific species that I would steer people away from. I think I would more caution in generalized terms that, you know, don't shop price on seafood. You get what you pay for. And, you know, with most proteins, you know, spend that extra dollar per pound, and you'll be glad you did. And the other piece of that is when you're cooking, if you have better product, it's harder to screw it up. So, you know, if you see, you know, salmon on at your fishmonger, and you know, one's for $6.95, the other one's for $8.95. Get the $8.95. It's going to give you a bigger window of error when you're cooking it, and you know, of course, your guests are going to be like, "Wow, that's really juicy. You must be a chef." So that's what I would probably recommend.
And if you're not on the coast and you're kind of landlocked and you don't have a great fishmonger to go to, are there any kind of like mail order companies you'd recommend, or what should people do if they're in a little bit of a food desert for seafood?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, unfortunately, it's not a problem that I've ever had, so I don't really have sources. I can tell you that Idaho farmed rainbow trout is as consistent as the day is long. You know, I've never gotten a bad piece of trout, and when I did a demo for World Oceans Day, I had a company ship me a bunch of rainbow trout, and it was just insanely good, and it's one of those fish that I don't think people really identify with, and when you have it, you're like, man, why don't I eat this more often? This is so good.
Awesome. Good tip. Yeah, we'll be on the lookout for that. So maybe you could leave everybody with one kind of summer fish grilling tip. You know, what should the average person be doing if they just want to put some fish in the mix at the barbecue?
Yeah, so, you know, say you grab a piece of tuna or a piece of salmon. I think there's a couple of things that would really help you out. Number one is make sure that grill is screaming hot, okay, and clean. So you should take, you know, your wire brush and clean it off nice, get it really hot, and then take that fish and, you know, that little can of Pam spray release stuff that they have in there?
Yeah.
Season your fish, spray it with a little bit of Pam, and drop it on the grill. That will help you pull the fish off the grill without it sticking to the grill. And that's a little trick that chefs use all the time, and it works really nice. And when you put it on the grill, don't touch it. Let it cook. You know, give it a good 4 minutes to kind of develop that caramelization that, you know, intensifies that flavor, that char. And then, you know, you pick it up once, and you move it once, and flip it over, and you're golden.
Beautiful. That's. I want to go do that right now. Maybe you can, you know, we're in New York here, of course, but I'd love to hear some of the menu items you have at the restaurant. You know, get people jazzed up for it. What are you serving these days there?
Yeah, well, amongst our popular dishes, we have a caramelized day boat scallop dish. And day boats are boats that go out, you know, for one day. These aren't guys that are out there for 5 days and then come back and all of a sudden your scallops are already 5 days old. They're out and back the same day. So when I get that fish and I serve it to guests, it's 1 day old, which is fantastic. And what we do with it is we caramelize it. We serve it with porcini mushroom raviolis and a truffle tarragon cream sauce. And the scallops are just gently seared to golden brown, and then it's just topped with some sautéed shimeji mushrooms. That's probably one of our more popular dishes. We also have this little mini lobster roll dish. And, you know, spending so much time on Cape Cod, I thought it would be fun to kind of do a play on the lobster roll. And, you know, for those New Yorkers who don't know, and I'm from New York, so, you know, I'm not judging. Lobster salad, you know, is essentially lobster, celery, and mayonnaise. Well, we're doing a kind of highbrow version of that, where we're poaching the lobster in emulsified butter, putting it on some griddled Portuguese sweet rolls, topping it with a little fleur de sel and a little bit of micro celery as a nod to the gods. And that dish takes off. People love it.
That sounds great, man. It's City Landing in Boston, guys. If you're ever out there in Boston, certainly check out the restaurant. Bill is an acclaimed chef. James Beard recognized, and really excited to check out City Landing sometime if I'm ever out there in Boston.
Well, thanks, Jack. I look forward to it.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for all the tips, and stay tuned here at heritageradionetwork.org. We will continue covering issues of sustainable seafood. This has been a community session. You've been listening to Jack Inslee with Chef Bill Brodsky of City Landing in Boston. Bill, thanks again, and we will see you guys soon.
Oh, my pleasure. Get grilling.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.